our news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, and this is the morning news for today, Thursday, October 14th for 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. A Dominican-born trauma director and a surgeon, Dr. Dale Dangaben, says healthcare should not be mixed with politics, as Dominica's healthcare services should be much further ahead if priorities were set right. The fourth wave of COVID-19 peaked in St. Lucia, and on October 11th, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Sharon Belmar-George reported a reduction in transmission, hospitalization, positivity, and prevalence rates. And a man armed with a bow and arrow killed several people and wounded others in southeastern Norway on Wednesday, and police says they arrested the suspect. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Margaret Cooperative Credit Union Limited and Digicel. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
The big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
The bundle that packs the most just packed even more. Get a Digicel Prime Jumbo Bundle today. Enjoy 1 extra gigabyte every day for YouTube and 1 gigabyte for TikTok on top of the already amazing dedicated data for your movies, music, messaging, cloud storage, and so much more. That's more apps, more gigs, more everything. Get a 7-day Prime Jumbo Bundle for $35 in My Digicel. Digicel. Together.
We all want to know that our money is safe. Well, not only your money, but your financial future is in safe hands at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union, serving the entire North with the friendliest, easy cash facility, payday loans, convenient checking accounts, secure night safe deposit. Members of the MCCU are now enjoying competitive loans, the members' retirement savings plan, membership capital, and the joy of watching your savings grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union. Friendly support, trusted service, helpful staff approvals. Join the MCCU today and enjoy the growing advantage and convenience of the community-friendly Marigot Cooperative Credit Union business. Call 445-7155 or 445-7166 or email mccu@cwdom.dm. Invest well, save regularly, and watch your money grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union.
And welcome back. Healthcare should not be mixed with politics, as Dominica's healthcare services should be much further ahead if priorities were set right. That's according to Dominican-born, U.S.-based trauma director and a surgeon, Dr. Dale Dangaben, who painted the stark reality of the political taint that is the core of the healthcare system, which needs not be the reality of the country, he says.
But this is what has destroyed the healthcare system in Dominica, and that's what has destroyed people, right? So you have certain ministers who are physicians, right, who have become too political, and they've moved away from the Hippocratic Oath. I'm a Pan-Africanist. I believe in Imhotep, but we still use the term Hippocratic Oath. We took that oath, and yet we continue to let politics get in the way of certain things, right? Certain people are treated differently based on their political affiliation. Some people have access to getting out of the country. Some people linger longer in the waiting room. Things that we should not be at that point in such a small island. We need to develop healthcare to a point where everybody gets the care that they need and the people have the expertise. So what needs to be done is you need to try to convince these physicians who've gone very silent because of politics. When you start living just for a paycheck and you've lost your freedom of speech and the oath that you took to be a physician, then you are no longer a physician by the true definition.
Dangaben says Dominica's medical priorities needs to be redirected and highlighted the fact that with all the millions being spent, the country still has not invested in a simple helicopter to get emergency patients the care they need.
Dominica still does not have a helicopter. I proposed that after Erica. When the Prime Minister was waiting for a helicopter from Trinidad to come to take him to Petit Savan. So we don't have a helicopter to move people around quickly, right? So if I have a trauma case at my hospital right now and we cannot handle it, then we need to go to the main Penn State Center, you know, the chopper is in the air. We have a helipad right on top of the hospital. They land, they take that patient, boom, boom, boom. Dominica does not have a patient, a helicopter that can take a patient from Marigot to Roseau in no time. That would be a 10-minute flight, a 5-minute flight, right? Our priorities are wrong. We're building hotels, we're building this, we're giving people houses, and they don't have health care. Dominica has no health care, and people are dying that should not be dying.
And that was a Dominican-born, U.S.-based trauma director and a surgeon, Dr. Dale Dangoben. And a former Alternative People's Party co-founder and political strategist Alex Bruno gave his official resignation letter to the APP executive on Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. The letter reads, "Dear Brother Corbett, this is the end of a journey for me. I never envisaged this and it feels like a bad dream. Nothing could have prepared me for this. For those who believe that I was aware that I had previously resigned from my position in the APP, my position from the APP, you are wrong. I did not know that I resigned and I never resigned. I never hinted that I wanted to resign, and I certainly had no amicable arrangement and or hostile fallout with the executive of our party, which necessitated an invisible letter of resignation for me. If I had a choice, I would never depart from our APP family now, and I would certainly wish to assist with the next general election. Recent media releases, which referenced my work with the APP, have caused me much grief, not because of what the disclosures have done to me properly, but because of how it has hurt our party. This is what has triggered me into taking this necessary action. I regret that the business of the party has found its way to the public domain, and this is the party's biggest nightmare. As a party's strategist, I repeatedly preached against this, and the lesson, therefore, is not to ventilate private party matters publicly. It is my wish that our party, the APP, and other political party members learn to discipline themselves and not be tempted to turn to the public to settle private disputes. In my case, I was caught unaware with the announcement of an agreed termination. As I stated before, no letter existed prior to this one, which confirms that I had resigned as a political strategist from the APP. This is why I was so shocked to read of my demise before even being given the privilege of a discussion with the team. Patrick John had warned me, and I failed to listen. Now I am kicked out of an institution which was designed for the benefit of our nation, not to serve the selfish desires of one person or a few. I thank the six other founders who, on January 12, 2020, sat with me in the first founders conclave to form our party, and may God richly bless you and your families. To the first four members of the APP interim executive, Tahara, Kendra, Sherlyn, and Sharon, I say thank you as well for being the initial flag bearers of our movement. And to the President Julius Corbett and the other members of our party's executive, I'm honored to have served with you. To the members, supporters, friends, sponsors, and opponents, I wish you well, but the journey is over for me now. And it is with the greatest sadness that I tender my resignation to the APP. This resignation is the best interests of our parties and its founders and our members, who should not be exposed to such public scrutiny at this critical period of our party's development. I have done nothing that I know would necessitate this resignation, but I offer it anyway with the hope that the party's mission is fulfilled. I wish you well on your journey, my dear brother. Please protest the identity of those founders, partners, or sponsors, and others who prefer to remain anonymous at this time. The hint that you intended to declassify this information hastened my resignation. Let me be a martyr for the founders." And it signs Alex Bruno. Also in local news, a justice and book author, Dr. Irvin Andre, laments that not enough recognition has been highlighted by most of Dominica's historians on the life, character, and progressive decisions made by the now deceased Patrick Roland John before his stint as Dominica's first prime minister was brought to an unceremonious end. Dr. Andre added that the full mettle of Patrick John was made clear to the nation when he refused to publicly praise the alleged narcissistic leadership espoused by the current DLP administration.
All he had to do to ameliorate his situation, perhaps to get more assistance from the authorities, from the directorate, is to start to sing songs of praise, is to start espousing publicly his shift in allegiance, and the fact that he now embraced the political directorate. That's all he had to do. And had he done so, we would say, leave him alone. The gentleman is ill, he's ailing, he's in need. He never did that, did he? He stood his ground. And compare and contrast that to some of your erstwhile colleagues. the degreed one, those who strode armed with their degrees and who, after the least of challenges, bolted to the other side. He did not allow, he never allowed, despite his compromised state, his expectation and his need and his obsession with personal gratification. He did not sacrifice his values on the altar of narcissism.
And that was a justice and book author, Dr. Irvin Andre. And in Dominica, the month of October is recognized as a Cancer Awareness Month. And speaking on Jolly's Health Vibe show on Wednesday, a president of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander, said statistics prove that breast cancer is still the main cause of cancer-related death in Dominica, and this is of concern to the society.
Breast cancer, which can be screened for, detected early and survived, is still the main cancer affecting women in Dominica and still remains one of the leading causes of cancer-related death in Dominica. This is of concern to us.
Mm-hmm.
Also of concern is the fact that we are seeing individuals, based on people who are coming into our office for services, we are seeing individuals of a much younger age group being diagnosed with breast cancer. So the average 20 and 30 and even 40 something year old may not think that it is a cause of concern for them, because in the past it would have been something that affected women of all older age groups.
Mm-hmm.
This is no longer the case.
And that was the president of the Dominica Cancer Society, Yvonne Alexander. And nine past students of the Dominica Community High School have decided to take up the mantle and lend their services as executive members of the newly established alumni association named Team DCHS. The association, which was founded in June 2021, hosted a launch meeting on June 19th at the Goodwill Parish Hall, where the founder, former administrator, present principal, and teacher of the Goodwill or Dominica Community High School were recognized. Presently, the association is in the planning stage to host Team DCHS Reunion 2022. The administrator of the Team DCHS Alumni Association, Mona St. Louis, says the group was created with a goal to provide support to the Dominica Community High School and to maintain the legacy of the school.
The group was created to be of support to our alma mater, to stay connected and to encourage friendships formed over years of being together, to maintain the role of being role models for current students, and to help maintain the legacy of Dominica Community High School, DCHS, known to be one of the most disciplined schools in Dominica. Some of our immediate plans of the group to establish and officially launched Team DCHS Alumni Group, to establish our executive committee, to establish our group savings account. All three of these areas have been successfully accomplished. At present, we are working hard to have a successful Team DCHS Reunion Week of Activities to be held in August of 2022.
She continued further.
After reunion, the group will continue to function. Reunion 2022 is just one aspect of the group's activities. So we are looking forward to the longevity and active functioning of the group to enable us to carry out its mandate in supporting our alma mater and by maintaining visibility. Some of our other plans for the group include launching our debut school magazine, helping the school in different areas, for example, providing the school with agricultural tools and sporting equipment.
And that was the administrator of a Team DCHS Alumni Association, Mona St. Louis. And Vernell Joseph, a chair of the activities committees of the Bankers Association, revealed some of the events that have been undertaken in this Financial Awareness Month. Speaking via virtual platform earlier this week, Ms. Joseph says this month's celebration is very exciting as the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank and Financial Information Month for FIM partners throughout the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union are focusing on building financial resilience in a COVID-19 environment for Financial Information Month, which commenced on the 1st of October.
this year, Financial Information Month 2021, is a very exciting one. We have scheduled virtual reading sessions for our children, and that is the primary school students. The aim is to go through this particular book, which is the Children's Book of Money Sense. And of course, this will cover one of our themes for Financial Information Month, which is dealing with budgeting, savings, and investing. We believe at a tender age, our children would like to learn, and we would like to teach them as adults how to invest, budget, and save for a better future. Also, we've had radio interviews taking place, and the radio interviews to sensitize our public on the digital tools available to them within the banking sector. Again, this pandemic has shown how digital has become a way of life. And the aim per week is to have radio interviews scheduled to highlight and to introduce the various digital tools to the public.
And that was Vrinal Joseph, a chair of the activities committees of the Bankers Association. And in other news, the fourth wave of the COVID-19 in St. Lucia has peaked and is on the decline. On October 11th, the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Elderly Affairs reported a reduction in transmission, hospitalization, positivity and prevalence rates. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Sharon Belma George forecasts average resolution of the fourth wave by November 2021, barring any major increases in risk for the new transmission.
The daily infection rate for the past week was 22.1 per 100,000 per day, which is a 68% decrease from the previous week. We note a steady decline in the rate of transmission at this point, with a present rate of 1.3. We continue to note cases diagnosed related to social activities, workplaces, and spread between families. To date, the positive cases diagnosed in country, less than 2% of them are fully vaccinated, and 98% of the COVID-19 deaths and COVID-related deaths at the respiratory hospital were unvaccinated. The 2% deaths who were fully vaccinated had other serious underlying health conditions which contributed to their demise. The Ministry of Health, Wellness and Elderly Affairs received a notification from the Caribbean Public Health Agency of 9 new cases of the Delta variant. All of the cases are nationals from across the island. 7 of them are female, 2 are male, and the ages range from 25 to 69 years. We continue to ask the public to work with us and exhibit responsible behavior to manage this fourth wave. Let us all take personal responsibility to keep ourselves and families safe. We continue to have available both the Pfizer and the AstraZeneca vaccine free of charge in country at the various wellness centers.
Also in other news, police in southeastern Norway say several people were killed and others wounded on Wednesday in bow and arrow attacks, and authorities have apprehended the suspect following the attack on the town of Kongsberg. We can unfortunately confirm that there are several injured and also unfortunately several killed in this episode, the local police officials Ovnid Alaz has told the news conference.
Pierces a wall in southeastern Norway. Part of what police say are several crime scenes after a man armed with a bow and arrow roamed through the small town of Kongsberg, about 80 kilometres from the capital Oslo. Over 30 minutes he picked out targets, killing at least 5 people. 2 others were injured, including an off-duty police officer. Witnesses reported people running for their lives. The Prime Minister said the country had been shaken.
The messages coming from Kongsberg are gruesome. The perpetrator has carried out horrific acts against several people. It is a very dramatic situation that hits the community hard. The events shake us. I understand that many are afraid.
The attack happened on Solberg's last day in office. Her successor, Jonas Gahr Støre, called it a cruel and brutal act. Police have arrested and charged a 37-year-old Danish man.
The arrested person is a man, and that's all I can say about the person suspected in this case. He's been taken to prison. There has been, and there will continue to be, a large police presence overnight. There are many crime scenes. The perpetrator operated over a large area. These places have been secured by police and are being searched by the crime scene officials.
Police in the Scandinavian country aren't normally armed, but officers nationwide have been temporarily ordered to carry firearms. Norway suffered its worst peacetime mass shooting in July 2011, when a far-right attacker, Anders Breivik, killed 77 people, many of them teenagers, at a summer holiday camp.
And that's the morning news as a recap of the headlines. A Dominican-born trauma director and surgeon, Dr. Dale Dangaben, says healthcare should not be mixed with politics, as Dominica's healthcare services should be much further ahead if priorities were set right. And the fourth wave of COVID-19 peaked in St. Lucia on October 11th as Chief Medical Officer Dr. Sharon Belma-George reported a reduction in transmission, hospitalization, positivity and prevalence rates. And a man armed with a bow and arrow killed several people and wounded others in north or southeastern Norway on Wednesday, and police said they arrested the suspect. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Margaret Cooperative Credit Union Limited and the Digicel. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global.